Hey guys, welcome to Offsides, Trim Radio's College Football Top 25 Plus 5 with your host, John and Kalen. And of course, I'm here for my normal shenanigans, my normal, I don't know what I'm here for. Anyway, I'm just here. We apologize for our tardiness. We were sitting at the table and we're like, you know what? Let's get on our show. We got lots to talk about. We first of all, wasn't it great last Saturday? I mean, it was enjoyable. There's nothing more. And kudos to Brutus. Oh, Brutus the Buckeye. He was something else, and he dotted the I.
Stole the show.
He did steal the show. Anyway, John, how are you? I hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. Kalen is here, and you guys have a lot to go over. We're coming up now on our conference championships, and boy, I think I got a good feeling about this, John. I got a good feeling. So let's go over them. You started off, sir.
Are we doing the games or are we doing the rankings?
Well, we could do both. Yeah. Let's do both.
Okay. So number one is Ohio State. With the Earl Bruce and John Cooper era, that has killed me for Ohio State. I do not like Ohio State at all. I don't care how well they do. They just, the 1980s and 90s just killed me.
Yeah. Well, John Cooper just couldn't seem to get it done back then, and I'm not sure what happened. And Earl Bruce in the 80s was also just, well, disappointing, to say the least.
So
we got into the Tressel thing. Then we got to the Urban Meyer thing. And now we're at the Ryan Day thing. And, you know, we had 3 years. There is a big asterisk, boom, planted on Michigan for, you know, going through and proven, publicly acknowledged that it was taken too far for stealing signs and an elaborate scheme. And guess what? They don't have those people anymore. As soon as they got what they got, the program is going slowly downward. So this is a new day.
In my mind, Day still owes me two.
Well,
Meyer never lost to him.
No. That's true, but
so no.
No?
He owes me two in bad weather or good weather.
Well, he got one this year.
But
he got one in 19. So
I'll say this. Urban never did lose to Michigan, no. But Urban seemed to always trip up on a 4-win team sometime throughout the year. Whether it be
Iowa, Purdue. I remember the kids looking out the hospital.
There was always one game everybody always had to look out for. And it was never the big game. It was who are we going to trip on?
and it was ugly. And, yeah. And it was brutal. I'm not sure. I think it was Iowa.
Purdue. They dropped 55 on us.
They spanked us good. And
it was at home.
I didn't feel like it was just – no, it was away.
Yeah,
it was a way they had it at home, but I didn't feel like it was justified, and I was really just torn to pieces over that game.
Yeah,
so
it stopped us from going
to a national championship again.
It was so, Michigan State that went that year.
Yeah,
all because
sure
of that.
Was.
We could have went back to back, dummies.
Yeah. Oh well. Number two,
Georgia, and they have Alabama this week.
But now they have a loss.
All right, hang on. Hang on. Here's my question. Now, where is it? Hang on a second. Whoa.
Not so fast, my friend.
Here's the thing. Indiana is undefeated. They're all calling them elite now. So how does Georgia jump them?
Georgia has a loss.
Georgia does have a loss to Alabama.
Yep.
Now
– I'll tell you.
So, what do you say? What would you say here?
So Georgia's strength of schedule highest in the country, or no, the second highest in the country, 14.81.
Yes.
Indiana played Kennesaw State and Indiana State. Their strength of schedule is 7.38, almost half of what Georgia's was.
And I okay, so I
all
understand.
Fair.
Okay, wait. Well, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Hold, not so fast, mister. The SEC, not last week, the week before, one game against Mercer, another game at Eastern Illinois, another game at Western Kentucky, Charlotte. Another game at Charlotte, and then another game, was it Chattanooga or somebody?
I'm going to put it like this, all right? Everybody's schedule is usually scheduled out 2 to 3 years in advance, all right? A lot of these teams, you don't know what they're going to be prior to time. You look at, you know, predictions from the pre, you know, basically the pre-25 before first week. You know, everybody's got a nice little ranking. You know, Ohio State, you could use them even. They were scheduled to play number one, number two, number 14, you know.
And then Grambling snuck in there, and they were awful.
That was because Ohio ended up switching games last minute. It was supposed to be Ohio again. And they ended up, you know, closing out last minute. Grambling is the only team that ended up taking, you know, the spot for us. So, kudos to Grambling.
Well, they got paid.
Yeah, so that's the point. And here's the second point to all of this. This is why I really don't care too much about the scheduling ordeal. Like, it's wonderful to watch these games, but it's kind of the point where we got the playoff in the first place. The other half of it is you can only play the schedules of games of which you've got scheduled for you. You still got to win those damn games.
Well, Georgia's got lost. It ended up being like Appalachian State.
Well, and you remember, hey, listen, you saw what happened. Appalachian State decided Michigan wanted to play them.
Oh, yeah.
That was going to be their cupcake team. And I'll tell you what, block field goal run all the way on down. They won that game. Then they beat them again.
Yeah.
And then Wisconsin decided to play Fresno State. Mm-hmm. And what did we see happen? Fresno State, the little dog came in and
all of a sudden Fresno State became a Big Five program.
Yeah, they ate Badger. So
and they've been good ever since.
And so I look at it as you never know what team will do what or rise high. Look at South Florida.
Yeah.
We saw this with them. So I'm not so sure overall how strong the SEC is. I mean, Alabama goes into Florida State and got waxed, and everyone's excuse is, well, it was the first game of the season. Okay. So then we take a look at that. Oklahoma, who's looking good, goes over to Texas. They get waxed. Texas gets waxed by Florida. No coach. Okay. I'm looking at the conferences.
And Bama has two losses.
Yeah. Bama has two losses.
Yeah, Florida State and
who was this?
See? Now I forgot.
Vandy.
Vandy, right?
Yeah, Vandy.
Vandy.
Then you got Vanderbilt up in there. Who lost to Georgia? Who lost to Texas?
Alabama, I think.
Alabama.
No. Vandy beat Alabama, so they lost to Texas A&M, I think.
Yeah.
But then South Carolina comes along and takes A&M right down to the wire. 1-point win. So,
and then the following week, A&M gets waxed.
Yeah, they sure did. And
so you got to go and question, you know, how good are these guys? So I like to do it is I like to look at the coaching. You know, what is the coaches, what have they done within, you know, their time period there? And it's like, you could take this for Kirby Smart. Kirby Smart's a great coach, but how long has he been in the SEC now?
Well,
6 years.
Yeah.
He was an assistant for Saban before he got the Georgia job.
Sure was. Yeah.
But how long has he had the Georgia job now?
10 years.
10 years. Yeah. So think about this. For about 4 to 5 years, he was top dog. All right. Since then, though, he's become back on level par with Bama.
Oh, no. Bama's had the upper hand over Georgia.
Always. Every single time.
Except for 2 years.
But you got to think, you know, the carousel, though. Bama's been going through the carousel ever since Saban retired. And, you know, no offense, the final years of Saban. So you have to consider there that Georgia kind of had the edge there over Bama, especially when it came to getting to the national championship. Now, as far as the head-to-head, Bama's always had their number.
And so, they might this weekend, but, too.
Yep.
So, smart averages lose 2 games a year. Mm-hmm. And then DeBoer, 2.5 games a year.
They're 10 and, they're like 10 and 2 guys.
And where are they at right now? One's already got one loss. The other's already got two. They got to play one another again. Guess what? There's going to be your second and third loss.
No, not necessarily, because here's the thing. While you say that, Georgia has their one loss.
Yeah.
Okay. If Bama beats them again, and they've already beaten them once, and I'm just...
No offense. That would be the worst case scenario. No offense. You need Georgia to win out. Trying to sit there and fit Bama into the playoff, they're at two losses. If they lose to Georgia, they're done. They're at three losses. You can't sit there and give any kind of argument whatsoever to any of these two lost teams and say that they're not qualified when you're sitting there having to give praise to Bama simply based off of schedule of ranking. And no offense, you lost three of those games. So the games of matter, you've lost. So now if Bama goes along and upsets Georgia now, then they're going to go, oh, great, let's throw Georgia in there. Let's throw Bama in there. Let's throw Ole Miss in there. Let's throw, who's the other team? A&M. Then you got A&M up in there as well. You've got four SEC teams, and then what? You're going to have a fifth one fighting for the final slotting?
Well, Paul Feinbein would love it to have that. Every team should be SEC except for one other team per conference so that he could enjoy himself.
Absolutely.
But it's not set up. Listen, if you're 10 and 2, the bottom line is you could possibly get in depending on how big the group is. If you have three losses, pack your bags, you're done, baby. Go to the other bowls and play. I think we're going to have Texas going against Michigan.
This is what I mean, though. If you look at the ACC right now, who is kind of in the similar situation to what the SEC is sitting in right now.
No, they're a mess.
They're a mess. They're an absolute mess. But think about it. Who's beaten who? Who's won over who and everything else? They're in a very similar situation. So now you have who? Miami, who has what? Two losses?
Two losses.
Going against Duke. Who has how many losses? Five?
No, Miami is not playing Duke. Virginia is.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Virginia playing Duke. All right, so Virginia has what? One loss, two loss?
Two.
What? Is it two?
Yeah, it's, I think, two. They're two loss. They're 10 two. And two. Playing a 7-5 team.
Who?
Duke.
How many losses does Duke have, John?
I'm looking for it. Duke is 8-4.
Eight and four.
Yeah, my bad. 8-4. So you have a 10-2 team playing a team that's 8-4 here for the ACC championship. What happens if Duke wins?
Okay, well, here's my thing.
Does the ACC get left out?
No, here's my thing. You can say that, but then you got Texas A&M who lost to Texas. I understand Texas has three losses, but here's the bottom line. A&M's not even included in the championship game against Georgia, which I think is a shame.
There you go.
But you got Bama who did that because it's interconference. It doesn't matter what happens on the outside. What happens on the inside of that conference.
Yeah.
So while we might think it's not fair, the bottom line is, what if Duke upsets Virginia?
Yeah.
They're done.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
Duke's not going.
Five SEC teams over an ACC team?
If Virginia loses and if Alabama loses, in comes Vandy.
That's my point.
Well, why wouldn't they take an extra team? Like, let's say North Texas wins, right? They have one loss, right?
Right.
Okay. Right. So you take North Texas, and then you'd have to look at a two-loss team, and I believe that's Navy. So you'd look at a two-loss team, yep. Navy. Then you would have to look at maybe another one-loss or two-loss team.
You have to. This is my point.
To give them a shot.
You have to bracket it. If you're going to do the playoff system the same way that the NFL does, the same way that the basketball does, okay, cool. You can't nitpick who in the hell you're going to put in there. It's the whole point of the playoff. We want to see these teams play. If North Texas is good, let's see them paired up against the Georgia. Let's see how they do.
Well,
so North,
go ahead,
replace Tulane. Tulane's coach quit. He's gone.
I saw that.
Yeah.
And the games start tomorrow night, right?
Yep.
So games start tomorrow night. But my point is this. I don't care how good everyone wants to praise and think that the SEC is. You know
they're
what?
Beatable.
If you're that good, win the ball games.
They're beatable.
That's it.
That's that point. If your conference is so great, where's your undefeated teams?
Yeah.
At this point, you have two big teams that are sitting there undefeated throughout the entire year. It doesn't matter who they played. They beat everybody.
Yeah.
And they didn't just beat everybody. They spanked them. It was belt to ass the entire way through the season.
And I agree to a certain point. Conferences will cannibalize each other through. But
that's
the point
of the conference.
Okay.
But when college changed from east and west and north and south to the mega conference, and you got 1 through 15 or whatever, and you don't have the inner division, that's when you end up with A&M. Because A&M would have easily won into the west, and the east would have been
Indiana.
Georgia.
Yeah, I mean, I understand conferences will cannibalize each other. It's going to happen. But that's the same thing for anyone. Win the games. It's like we have the picks here on our thing. Pick better picks.
Yep. That's right.
All
right. If you're going to do this, no offense.
You
can have these mega conferences. It's not a problem. If you're going to do it, though, I say design it the same way the NFL does. You play each team in your section twice a year. Do it east versus west again and have them cross play the entire time.
What I say is the top 16 or the top 32.
That fixes.
I like the top 16. You start to get to 32,
it's a lot.
Then you might as well eliminate half the bowl games before that anyway. And let's face it, some of these other teams that they have dreams and aspirations of saying we made the playoffs, but they know they're going to take the belt to the butt, and they know that somebody's going to be grabbing them by the bottom of the heel, dragging them behind the woodshed. They're going to get beat, okay? They know it.
The number 32 team in offsides top 25, TCU.
And they can be a giant killer. But then they lose when they shouldn't lose.
Yep.
It's a team that you don't know who's going to show up.
That's why we love college ball.
So number 31 is Arizona State. And 30 is Navy.
Arizona State beat BYU and Texas Tech.
Yeah.
And then got beat by Arizona. Okay. You're going to have – there's the cannibalism in the conference. and I mean, it's unbelievable. But you're going to have that. And that's the same way with the SEC, the ACC, the Big Ten.
Has 68 teams.
Yeah, I like 16 teams. I think that it ends the conversation there.
So number 16 in our rankings, 16 is USC.
They have a valid point.
Yeah. They've got a good resume.
9-3. Number 17, North Texas.
Yeah.
And North Texas most likely will get the automatic group 5 bid.
Yes.
As they should.
Because once going against Tulane, no coach, everything else going on.
And then you're USC going, how the heck do we get out of the playoffs when number 17 is in?
Yeah.
But they win the games.
Yeah.
They win the games. So, next one down the line.
Indiana. Number 3, Indiana. So, offsides has them minus 4 to Ohio State.
I like it. I think it'll be 10. Ohio State is going into this championship game They have everybody back. Everybody's 100% healthy. Their Brian Hartline is staying there throughout the playoffs.
I like that.
He is too. A classy move. Then he's going to go take over South Florida because their coach went over to Ole Miss, I believe, right?
Yep.
So, and I think Hartline will do fine. Now we've got a couple of recruits wavering, Chris Henry. But I will tell you this, and I would tell Mr. Henry, I will tell you this, is that Alabama went through this all the time under Nick Saban.
Yep.
And they had the best wide receivers, the best defense, and everything else. Coaching carousels will happen. They will happen. There's no way to avoid it. But Day has a way of pulling somebody that will do magic. And it's kind of like Saban. Mm-hmm. They're going to put somebody in there. He's going to be an awesome offensive coordinator. I expect somebody pro. Will they go within the program? I don't think so. I think they're going to look on the outside. Are they going to hire back Chip Kelly? Maybe as somebody else, but it won't be as the offensive coordinator. I think he's going to look for a pro-style offensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think that they'll probably do. Somebody nobody's expecting. Nobody expected Matt Patricia. And he came in and he put together the best defense college football has seen since, oh my goodness.
Since Osborne.
Yeah. I mean, 7.5, 7.8 points per game? That's.
I gotta look. Ohio State, They are giving up 7.8 points per game and scoring 37.
And here's the other thing you take into consideration. Before Brian Hartline was there, these guys had, you know, San Antonio, right?
Yes, Antonio Holmes.
Holmes. Teddy Ginn.
Ryan Robisky.
Hartline. Before Hartline was Hartline, yeah. Okay? They've always recruited good wide receivers, good linebackers.
It's still the Ohio State University.
And it is the Ohio State University. And the great thing about it is these guys have gone first round, and they are wide receiver university. You want to go first round, you want to play pro, you want the NIL money, that's your best gig.
Yep.
Nick is gone now. Nick is gone. Brian's gone, but I'm talking about Nick Saban is gone, but He has went through this with Kirby Smart, Lane Kiffin. He's went through this with everybody. I mean, when you really go back and you look at it, how many of his
– Dabo Swinney.
Yeah. All of them were under Nick Saban. And they went to other programs to become head coaches. They did well. I have no doubt Brian Hartline will do wonderful. God bless him. He's a class act. But I will tell you this. They will restock. They will.
What I like is they replayed Saban's departure from State. And then he left. He sent a plane back. He goes, I would like to send a plane back for my assistant coaches. And none of them got on the plane. You're like, well,
yeah.
You look at Kiffin now, it's like you can get anybody in the state of Mississippi to cross over into Louisiana right now.
No, you cannot. And he left. And I would say this about coaches. This is why I don't like the portal being the way that it's kind of set up a little bit.
Nope.
Off-season, fine. You know, once the season starts and we start getting into playoffs and everything, close that puppy down. Let's not even talk about it. It should be a
no
communication time.
Yeah, the athletic directors of each of all the schools should not be able to recruit a coach during the bowls.
Yep, exactly. During the whole thing, while it's active, no recruiting. And I like that. And coaches, if you get fired, okay, we all know how the business world works. You know, teams will fire you. They're not giving you 2-week notice. We know that. And they expect 2 weeks from you. So I kind of understand where Lane Kiffin's coming from a little bit, is that if they fired me, would they give me 2 weeks notice? No. So if I quit, why should I have to give them 2 weeks notice? It's kind of a double standard, a little hypocrisy there. So Lane took the money, okay? I wouldn't have done it because I think he had a great gig going there. I mean, they were one ball game away, you know, from being in the championship game. One. That's another step. But they've been consistently taking more steps forward, forward, and forward. Now, is the Tulane coach going to be as effective as Lane Kiffin? I don't know. I don't know. Do you think the coach up at Penn State that they took is going to be as effective as 10-2 guy? No.
Well, he's won.
Well, he might have won, but I'm just saying you're taking everything into account. You look at James Franklin.
Terry Smith deserves a shot. I'm going to say that.
Okay, I agree. But I'm not saying, and nothing against you, Penn State.
The pen is shaking.
Yes. But I'm going to tell you, now I look at Virginia Tech, and I have no doubt in my mind, 10-2 guy could become 11-1.
He's going to turn him around.
Or 12-0 guy.
Yeah.
Okay, he's going to be a force, and he can get the recruiting done. Frank Beamer saw this. He was there. He said, yeah, I support this. Mm-hmm. Why? Well, the ACC is – okay, it's not quite a top tier.
They're the Atlantic Coast Conference. Coast.
Okay, I was trying to be general when I said it, but they're – they're the Shelley Conference. Yeah, they are. Okay. They don't always support the dress, but, you know, it's just when you look at the top conferences, I have to admit, I see SEC and Big Ten, Big Ten and SEC, and the Big 12 is starting to come around, but they're not quite there. They're not quite there yet.
No, but they got some solid teams in there. You're seeing, and that's the thing I like about the Big 12. It's not just one team that's popping out. You're seeing a lot of teams pop out at the same time in the growth within the own conference. You know what I mean?
Like the Big 12 used to be the machine.
What?
They got torn apart.
Huh?
The Big 12 used to be the machine, and they got torn apart.
They were. Well, you had Nebraska. You had
Oklahoma.
You had Oklahoma. You had Texas. You had Missouri. Big corn-fed boys.
Kansas, and they would, Kansas State.
Yeah, and they would chew on everything. Tom Osborne was there. Rip steak out of my mouth.
What I like about Osborne, he would run number three and let the other team know, we're going to run number three. You stop number three.
Yeah, and he would, too. We're going to run him, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to tell you our plans. There's no need to scout us. Here's what we're going to do, you know? And then they would run it right down your throat. And I mean, and you couldn't. You couldn't stop them. So, but now those teams have scattered to the wind. Nebraska came to the Big Ten. They've gotten pummeled. When Penn State came to the Big Ten back in 92, they got pummeled. Yep. They've been getting pummeled. I think Ohio State has a 27-10 record against them or whatever it is. 27-14,
27-10. It's a lot.
I think it's 27-10. So there's been beatdowns. Yep. And now you look at Texas going into the SEC, and they're dealing with the likes of Georgia and Alabama. Nick is gone now. Now we have a conundrum. Okay. And I mean, and you know it. I know it. DeBoer is okay. Can he get by Georgia again? I'm not so sure. That would be 4 or 5 times in a row now.
Yep.
I'm not so sure 5 times in a row Alabama doing it without Nick Saban.
Nick had that +1 against Kirby. That's all it was.
Oh, Nick had this mentality of, we didn't come here to lose. We came to beat down. And he would be on that sideline holding that hat or that board. Nick would
walk in and be like, boys, she made Twinkies, and I got the belt.
Yeah, he wanted to feed, and that's what he came to do. So he was like a wolf among sheep, and he did eat well. So, you know, now I look at it as Kirby, you know, is up there, and, you know, I'm not going to give Vandy – has got a great quarterback. There's no question.
Oh, yeah. But can you Pavia, do it next year?
Pavia is a difference maker, and Pavia is trying to get another year of eligibility from what I understand, from what I've seen or heard. So does he get it next year? I don't know. Vandy's starting to make a come on. But Texas A&M has proven to be, hey, you know, we're here. So you take a look at the top teams, Georgia, Texas A&M, Ole Miss, LSU fell way off, Florida's fallen way off, and then you have Alabama. So you've got about four teams, and Tennessee's making a comeback.
Yeah.
Josh just has to figure out.
Big games.
Yeah, I don't want to be 9-3 guy, okay? So, you know, I don't want to be that guy.
It's like, no offense, anybody can beat up Kentucky. Anybody can beat up South Carolina. Anybody can beat up Mississippi State. Anybody, you know what I mean? Florida, even at the point, you know, prior to Kiffin, you know, Napier, you know, anybody could beat up Florida. LSU was turning into that point. Anybody could beat up LSU. It's like you can't sit here and claim superiority when you're top heavy at the same time while criticizing the other conferences for being in the same boat.
Well, you can criticize LSU. They were getting rid of coaches like a deck of cards at a poker table.
Yeah, and then throwing money around trying to buy everybody else.
So I mean, listen, they got rid of
LSU.
Yeah.
They got rid of Saban.
Yep.
They got Orgeron.
Orgeron after the national title.
And who else did they get rid of? Oh, Les Miles. All three of them won a national championship and won.
Then they got fired.
So, something else has to happen beyond winning a national championship there.
Yeah.
You have to win two in a row or three out of five.
But you got to go back. You got to look at what LSU has done. And what was it, 84 LSU? Or no, 94 LSU. USC was going to forfeit that anyway and vacate that anyway. But LSU again against Ohio State in 97.
Or
07. And then you go ahead and you take a look at 2019 at Orgeron. Hmm. Listen, you've got three national championships there, and you got rid of every coach that gave it to you. Mm-hmm. Every coach that gave it to you. And what did you think was going to happen the next year?
And then Saban, well, here's the kicker to it all. Saban goes on to Bama and does what? How many? 11?
Oh, he just ran a machine.
11 national titles?
It was.
And LSU being a rival. People just witnessed.
Saban was winning national titles like the Mint was printing money. It's just a machine. Just kicking it out, you know. That's all it was doing. It was 20s, 50s, 100s. Just you could almost hear the bearings on the machine.
The after the third one, Gene saw it.
Yeah. Absolutely just a machine. And I've got to tell you, is Lane Kiffin the answer for LSU? I don't know. I know that he's probably a little more composed than what Kelly was.
He'll turn LSU around.
I will. Is he still going to be better than 10-2 guy? Mm-hmm. I don't know. He'll be the SEC's 10-2 guy.
That's the real question for them all at the moment, though. You know, can they overcome the hump? Can you win that game? No offense, everybody wanted to criticize Ryan Day for not beating Michigan. Okay, he's over the hump. He won a national title last year. You can't request anything else from this guy.
Yeah.
Yes, we can. He might Cooper won his bowl games, yeah. But he always lost to Michigan, and you were like,
you can't really ride that monkey anymore. So
I'm still asking.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask until 2028.
And I'll be excluding the 3 years of Harbaugh's descent, you can understand what happened last year. You don't know what to expect from a team. You sit there and you prepare yourself to face a team as if like you've faced before. So you went heavy on a play style.
It didn't work.
This year, something to prove now.
No.
Go out there and they BTA'd Michigan.
No, I disagree. No.
Yeah. That's the reality, boys. That's what happens.
I understand what happened, but no. You are supposed to go in there. You were a plus 20 favorite.
Yeah.
And then you decide, after you have demolished everybody else, let's change ideas.
Let's change tactics.
Let's run the ball.
Yeah, let's confuse everybody.
Yeah.
Which is hilarious, because if you go back and look at the playoff run, they ran the ball.
Well, but I don't know about strength of schedule, how these guys are trying to calculate it or whatever.
It's dumb.
Playing this team.
It's a dumb. It's an excuse for a loss. That's all it is. Whose loss is better than whose loss? But that's where the argument should stop. If you're sitting there having to compare with an undefeated team of why your loss is better than their no loss.
Okay.
Why are you arguing?
If Alabama loses, I'm sorry. You have to take Florida State into account and see what Florida State towards the end of the year did as a collective whole. Yep. You and 6-6.
Exactly.
Then you have to take into account where Florida is when they beat Texas. And I mean, it wasn't a beating. It was like a ping pong.
BTA, baby.
Yeah, it was ugly. So them trying to fight for a right to get in there when you've got other teams that are out there that might not be in these Power Five conferences with one loss. No, you have to let the Giant Slayers get in there somehow. Mm-hmm. You can't just pick one and negotiate this deal. Basically, this whole thing was negotiated between the Big Ten and the SEC.
Yep.
I mean, these are where the
– So Vanderbilt's coach says, how do you win against the teams, their schedule – the last four games, and you don't move up at all. The rating is the same.
That's a good question. I think it's a legitimate question. So, you know.
You just have to tell Coach Lee, don't go 22-35 in your first 5 years.
Exactly. I believe that's what it is. You've got to win the games. You got to win the games. It's straight up. You got to win the games. They've got to move it from 12 games to 16 games. I think then that you have, okay, listen, it's 16 games. We moved it from 12. We moved it from 4. We moved it to 2. You know, 2, 4, 12. You know, I mean, and now we'd be at 16. And that expires next year, does it not?
Yeah.
The 12 game system expires next year, so then it will go to I assume it's going to go
16, I believe
it to is. 16, and
no buys.
Whatever. Yeah, and no buys. Play ball. no sleeping. And if we're going to do that too, you don't need to idle weekends. Listen,
idle in the playoff.
I mean, here's how it's going to go. Halfway through the season, everybody takes a bye. Go ahead. Heal your guys. Do your magic. Do what you can do. But you still got to win the games. You don't need a nap, okay? You get one nap, okay? That's it during the regular. And then you'll have a nap in between from the end of the season to the playoffs.
The Army-Navy weekend.
Yeah. Take another nap. take another nap. I mean, it's just that simple. And then you play it. You get in there, you get into the meat. It's the grind, baby. you better have depth. Mm-hmm. So recruiting is you better have some depth. And
first team, second string, you know?
Yeah. And people have this misconception of, well, they paid all this money and bought the championship. No, they had players that they wanted to stay, that they had already recruited, already had gotten. This goes for all the teams, okay, that they didn't want to lose. Yeah, they were delving out the cash. Who didn't? I mean, come on.
They're all poaching.
The only one who didn't poach, I believe, was a lot of the ACC teams.
Notre Dame, I think, too.
That was a mistake.
Why? Half of them didn't have NIL.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So why do you want to go to the ACC and not be paid?
Well, I think that's a question that Dabo Swinney has to ask is,
this isn't working.
We need cash.
Yeah. He's going to end up just like Oklahoma State.
Mm-hmm.
There it is. All right. So let's get on to it.
So number four, Ole Miss, and they hired their assistant coach to be the new coach.
Yep.
No interim, no nothing. He went from assistant coach to head coach. Golden.
You do it. That's like the grocery stores, right? Isn't that what Sebastian Maniscalco said?
Yeah.
We don't want to do it. You do it. Okay. Next.
Number five, Oregon. Idle.
Sleepers.
Napping.
West, if they had not gone to the May conference.
Well, and Oregon is a legitimate team.
Mm-hmm.
And they lost by 10 to Indiana. So they got a little bit of a, you know, they didn't get what I would call a waxing, but they got
no.
They got bullied and shaken around a lot. And then and then they got that humiliating in the head.
Ohio State did the waxing last year.
It's kind of like the mafia thing. They shake you up and everything. What were you thinking?
Rename Bloomington, Boomington. You watch.
All right. Next up.
Number six, Texas A&M. And
that was
idle. Not a good
they're
show.
Idle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they're idle, and I think they need to regroup.
I got a serious question. I'm wondering if they ducked out of the conference championship game to avoid getting knocked.
Do you think that Ohio State ducked out last year against Michigan?
No, we just played dummy
ball. Well, there you go. So I don't think they did either. I don't think that they planned on going in there and getting what they got. So next.
Number seven, Alabama.
And
Alabama, by the numbers, predicted to lose by five.
I'm telling you, I just feel that Georgia. John, you know us. We always say, don't bet against Alabama.
But when it comes to Georgia.
Well, it's a home game for Georgia.
Yeah.
Georgia wants to ride high into that bye. They will not do it.
Would you have the SEC championship game in the Superdome or in Mercedes in LA?
You know where it's going to be. It's going to favor Georgia where that game's at.
Yeah. So it's downtown Atlanta.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's Georgia territory, baby. That's Georgia. Next one up.
Number eight, Notre Dame. Idle.
Yes.
They're another one.
Yeah. Okay. But we could – I mean, listen.
The only defending factor for Notre Dame is that where's Miami ranked?
It's not that. It's what their losses were. One by 1 point, another one by, you know.
That's my point, though.
I think they've lost both games by what? 8 points?
8 points
total?
Yeah.
So yeah. That's my point, though. Now look at Notre Dame. If you got to compare Notre Dame to Alabama, whose loss was worse? Bama's loss to Florida State was worse.
Oh, absolutely. It was embarrassing.
Yeah.
So
then you have to factor it. Okay, Notre Dame's got the better losses.
Yeah, they didn't lose to Florida State.
Miami is currently ranked. Texas A&M is currently ranked.
Well, that's what we're saying anyway. Will Notre Dame put on a good show? It's hard to stop Jeremy Love.
Yeah.
He's a force.
So Miami lost to Louisville and SMU.
Yeah.
If your quarterback throws four interceptions in one game, the probability of you winning is slim to none.
But here's the kicker, though. Louisville and SMU are both ranked.
And below 25 now.
Yeah, now, but they're within the top 50 is what I'm trying to say. Florida State's what?
SMU took a nosedive.
They did, but they went on a run. Louisville took a nosedive, but they went on a run. Miami took a little bit of a nosedive, but they went on a run.
Okay, let me tell you something. Let me explain the run you're talking about. If you have
less than four games,
if you have a 400-pound bear chasing you and you don't run fast enough, you will get eaten. Okay?
Yes. And that's what happened.
They got eaten along the way in the season. They didn't run well. Okay?
No, they stumbled.
Yeah, it was more than a stumble. It might as well have been off a cliff. Come on, let's call it what it is. All right, next up.
Number 9, Texas Tech. And they play BYU.
Yeah, this is a game that everything in my heart tells me Texas Tech.
Mm-hmm.
But I could swear BYU's coach swallowed a horseshoe, okay, and jiggles it in his stomach, okay? And somehow they win these games.
Yeah.
They come from behind and win the game when it looks like it's down and out. And you're like, are you kidding me? They won?
But I'm taking Texas Tech. And that's strictly because I think the firepower that Texas Tech's putting out right now is too much.
Texas Tech.
I like Texas Tech because they beat BYU earlier in the season.
Yep.
Texas Tech by one.
Yeah. This is...
Let's go, Red Raiders.
Yeah, this is that's going to be a game. It's how do you feel that day? Did you wake up in a good mood? Did you wake up needing a cup of coffee? Because that's the difference in this game.
You know who's either Bob Knight's going to be the ghost of that game. Then he's going to haunt Indiana.
Yeah, there you go. Oh. Oh, as always. All right, next one.
Number 10, Miami. Idle.
Sleeping. They need a nap. Carson Beck will not do well in the playoffs. I don't believe Miami's going to escape in the first round. I just don't see it. I don't believe that Miami has the firepower.
I don't think they have the depth.
Yeah, they don't.
I hope they get North Texas.
Oh. You know what I'm thinking. Yeah. Oh.
I feel like you'd be in the parking lot and on the field. And
you're just strong arm behind your arm, you know. Get out of here. All right, next one up.
Number 11, BYU.
Yeah. The horseshoe people. I'm calling them the horseshoe people. They've swallowed a horseshoe. That's all I know. I don't know where they got it from, but it's a magic horseshoe.
They stole it from Notre Dame.
They must have went out to pasture and found the one that won the Triple Crown in Kentucky Derby and all those, and somebody forgot to take the horseshoe off. And they might have found it there. I don't know. Next up.
Number 12, Texas.
No.
So whoever's number 12, it's automatic death because it goes to group 5.
Yeah. No. Texas, no. No. I'm sorry. No.
I agree.
Let's go up to number 16. All right, go on. Number 13.
13, Oklahoma. Idle.
Yeah. And they had a total of how many losses? Three. And it was to Alabama, it was to Texas, and it was to Georgia, correct?
Yeah.
So you have all top dogs in the SEC that they've lost to. They got manhandled by Texas.
Yeah.
So they're out. And I hate to, you know, Brett, I'm sorry. Win the game. win the game. Next up.
Manning wasn't tossing tomatoes. He's just tossing watermelons. number 14, North Texas.
And yeah.
They play Tulane.
Who they've already beaten this year.
And
it was by 10, I believe.
And Tulane lost their coach.
Yeah, but Tulane, the Green Wave, has this way of drowning itself in these games. I don't know how they do it, but they end up just like trying to surfboard it and they drown. I don't know how.
They're the best team in Louisiana this year.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry. I like North Texas.
Yeah.
And next one.
That will kick Texas out. Number 17, Tennessee.
Mm-mm. Yeah, Josh isn't there yet. The quarterback tried to play well. Good team. He's 9-3 guy right now. He needs to get to 10-2 or 11-1 guy. Can he do it? I don't know. I don't know. We got this carousel going around.
No.
You know what?
No.
The stadium and the university is on Kingston Pike. And I lived there for 3 years. That's the drunkest damn street on a Saturday.
Oh.
Into the coaching team. Kingston Pike.
Yeah. Nashville, I've been there, and wonderful place, beautiful place. But the trolleys got me, the marriage trolleys, coming around the corner.
Yeah.
And I was looking, and I was like, what in the world is this? Playing the loud music, all these women on board, and thingamabobs, hanging off the trolley. Yeah! And I was thinking, there's living proof that, don't eat the fruit off of the tree. Next up.
Number 18, USC. Idle.
Yeah, they're napping, but you got to get the game done. They had a chance with Oregon, but they did not do it. So, no, they're out. Wow. Keep going.
Number 19, SMU.
No. Yeah, they jumped off a cliff without a parachute.
They're not good. 9-3 team.
Yeah. Next up.
Number 20, Utah. Idle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They'll go against somebody, but.
They're 10-2.
Now, see, I could see Utah sneaking in.
You'd have a couple teams in front of them.
Though. You could have a couple teams. Will they get past the North Texas? No.
I don't think so. I put Danville ahead of Utah.
Yeah.
Well, Alabama loses. They're out. I could see Utah jumping in. They're 10-2. They're a 10-2 team. You can't keep Bama. You can't give it to Vandy. They have 3 losses. I'm sorry. 10-2.
Vandy is 10-2.
Who?
Oklahoma and Vandy are both 10-2.
Mm-hmm. Oklahoma and Vandy?
Yep.
So Oklahoma only lost to Georgia and Texas. That's it, right?
Yep, that's it.
Yeah, then I would say, did they play this year, Vandy and Oklahoma? I don't think they did.
No.
I would say Oklahoma would jump Vandy. Yeah. Next.
21, Michigan.
Yeah. No.
Michigan.
No, and they were all mad all week, and it's okay. We're not even going to get into it. End of story, you lost the game. Boy, their fans were ruthless on the pages, and oh, my goodness. But the bottom line is all is right in the world. Everything is restored to the proper order, and that's what we needed to have happen. Next up.
Number 22, Tulane.
Yep, the Green Wave. Next.
23, Virginia.
Virginia. Now, see, Virginia, I believe Virginia can manhandle Duke. I think that it's going to happen. Yeah, but they beat Duke earlier, I think, didn't they? I believe they did. So I like Virginia in this game. Next one up.
23, UNLV.
No.
They've been doing all right this year.
No.
They're 10-2.
Yeah, they did good this year.
No, they're not getting in.
No, they're not getting in. No. They're in the bottom ranking. Come on now, but they did good this year.
I'm not saying they didn't do good. I'm just saying that that's not deserving at all. Not even consideration.
No, we're not talking the playoff. We're just talking ranking.
No, we're talking about possibilities of being able to somehow who they would pick to jump. Next.
24, Georgia Tech. 9-3.
Nope.
They let it go at the very end of the Georgia.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I think that was enough to butcher them. And
the wheels came off of the rambling wreck the last 3 weeks.
Oh, yeah. The Pittsburgh game was embarrassing. I'm not sure who showed up on that game, but Pittsburgh absolutely devoured him. Next up.
Number 25, Arizona.
Spooky team. You know.
Very good team.
Arizona State takes out Texas Tech and BYU. Arizona beat up Arizona State. And it was a beatdown. I mean, they were manhandling them.
I'm looking for the score, but I stopped flipping across them because it was over.
Yeah. No. I did too. And I originally had picked them, and the genius over here.
No, I said Arizona.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, Arizona, Arizona State. Y'all were going Arizona State, and I said, nah, nah, nah. I said Arizona's going to win that game.
All right, so let's go through the championship games now.
Championship games, Ohio State versus Indiana.
Ohio State.
Ohio State. I like Ohio State by 10 in this game. I think Ryan Day has a chip on his shoulder. They want that championship trophy. I think Cignetti's an awesome coach. But I think we're going to see the gap. I think Ohio State will be well prepared. I think that they're ready for this game. I think Indiana's riding this high. Their fans are a little delusional. And this is where Ohio State likes to shine.
Yep.
So I like Ohio State. I like them by 10.
Then you got Georgia versus Alabama.
Yeah, in Georgia territory. I like Georgia in this game.
By three,
yeah.
And then number 9, Texas Tech versus number 11, BYU. Texas Tech
by one.
Yeah, I like the Texas Tech in one. There'll be some fluke that'll happen. Maybe the horseshoe gets kicked out of his stomach. I don't know for BYU, but. I like Texas Tech. Speed is the key here, and I think Texas Tech has a little bit more than BYU. Next.
Number 14, North Texas versus Tulane.
North Texas. And this might not be pretty at all. I if you have a lot of redheads down there at the Tulane University, you might want to not buy or invest in a shed. Okay. Next.
Number 22, Virginia at Duke.
Virginia.
Yeah, I like Virginia in this game, you know, only because the idea of having a team named Duke, okay, slide on through would be embarrassing. Duke so I Duke Mayo Bowl. Yeah. Yeah, Duke's is good for one thing, mayonnaise. So I like Virginia in that game. And I like them by 10.
Yeah.
I like them by 10. Next.
Number 23, UNLV versus Boise State.
Give me Ooh. UNLV.
That's a tough one. UNLV is 10-2. Boise State is 10-2. Are they not?
9-3.
9-3.
Let's go, Pete.
Okay, but didn't I believe Boise State already beat UNLV?
No,
I'm almost.
I don't think they played.
Go ahead. Maybe. Let's check. I think Boise State has already beaten UNLV once. I'm almost positive. We're checking this stat out now, this statistic out right now, folks. But I am almost positive that BYU or Boise State.
Yeah, Boise State won 56-31.
56-31. I like Boise. I think the Bluefield people are you know, it is what it is. And
I'll look. I'm back now.
Okay.
Sorry.
I'm going underdog still. Give me UNLV.
You're taking UNLV?
Yep.
I'm taking Boise State.
The Mass. I like
the blue people. I you know.
So UNLV lost to Boise State 56-31, week 7.
Oh yeah. 56-31. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm taking UNLV.
Listen. Muggers are more gentle than what, you know, Boise State was to be, you know, to UNLV. So at least they just take your wallet or whatever. No, they like to beat you up and then take your wallet, you know, and then turn and ask for your change. You got any change?
So UNLV, their new coach is Mola.
Oh.
And I'm like, you got to the woodshed and more.
Yeah, it's coming their way. It's coming their way. Next up.
Kennesaw State versus Jacksonville State.
And I like Jacksonville State in this. They've already beat Kennesaw State once this year. I think that Jacksonville State is very physical. I think that they're very methodical, and they do take down Kennesaw State.
And Kennesaw State is still bruised up from Indiana.
Yep. They sure are. They still stars going around the head still. Mm-hmm. Next up.
Troy versus James Madison.
Oh, JMU is going.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's going to be so hard in the rear end. It's going to knock the wind out of them. I mean, they're going to be like, This was a terrible choice. And lastly,
Miami, Ohio versus Western Michigan.
I like Miami of Ohio. They've already knocked Western Michigan off. And I think that Miami of Ohio is – they're hungry.
Yeah.
They're hungry. They always get close. They never got to the top. But I'm going to tell you, I think that they're hungry and – you know, during the game, they're going to persevere.
They're so going they won, to. They won the regular season meeting by 9.
I like it.
Yeah. And that's the last conference championship game.
And then we have the big dog Army. One. Army, Navy, and I got to tell you, folks, the Commander-in-Chief's Cup will – and a lot of people are like the Commander and. No, it's not. It's in. Commander in Chiefs Cup is going to stay with Navy. I like Navy in this game. I like them by over 10. I think it'll be 14. Swami, what do you got?
I got Navy, but I haven't looked at it in a while. Navy 16. Where's Army at? Yeah, 10 points. 10 points.
I like it. And then you have, and for those listening in and those tuning into our show, if you're playing on our pick'ems, you have till tomorrow night before the first game starts. Once the game starts, there is no changing your picks.
You know who is changing? I had an update even Saturday.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Really? You want to change your pick now? Okay.
Yeah. No changing picks after that. You eat what you served on your plate.
That's why I copy all of them and then I post them. So that's what it is when the kickoff on Friday night starts, I post them.
Yeah. And I've got news for you, my friend. I'm going to post probably 5 minutes before the game.
I watched your picks for a week 14.
I know you did.
And I knew
exactly what you were going to do. And I looked at Cher. I said, you know what he's going to do? He's picking all the teams I'm picking.
That's so right.
I said, I can only gain on him probably maybe one game, which I did.
Texas.
Just one game. That was it. And I was like, well, I knew you had it wrapped up. I said, I don't care. At least I had a very solid second place. How did we do? How were our overall standings? Did we do? I mean, we did pretty good picks this year, John.
Yeah, we've usually an excellent year is 250 points. And let me look at here. Let me pull it up.
So we were separated by 8 points, you and I.
Six.
That's right, six.
299 I had, you had 293. And then
– wow.
And that's – normally any other year, 250 will win it.
We did real well.
Yeah. So Doug is third, 284. Then Marcus, 270. Shannon, 261. Kent, 256. Sherry, 250. And Kaylin, 63.
Only came in like last 4 weeks.
Oh.
It's still, though, 60 something is pretty good for 3 to 4 weeks.
Yeah, that's not bad. But we had pretty good picks, we had a high percentage. I was worried about Marcus. Marcus likes to make that comeback during the year.
And then the bonus games.
Yeah, he does. Well, he's a coach. He, you know, he was a coach, so he knew that stuff.
This year he was, let me see. You had the highest score for bonus games, 98. I had 98. I had 94. He had 76. Normally that's his bread and butter.
Yeah, that's what he said. He said that on the thread. He goes, I got to pick up the pace on the bonus games. I said, I like you right where you're at. Right where you are. But right, yeah, I said, there's no need to make any changes. You're doing great.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I'm sure he was feeling that way. Thank you very little, Michael. But...
he was getting 4 or 6 points a week, and normally eight or ten.
And I, you know, I'm hoping. I'm looking at the picks. I'm going to think over them tonight. I'd like to get another perfect season.
I've had two. Yep, you're the only one who's done it.
Yeah, I've had two. I'm hoping to pick up my third one this year.
What?
So a perfect college championship.
Oh,
yeah. Now, last year, I pulled it off at the end of the playoffs, too. because Ohio State, when I picked them right to the end, I said, I'm riding a horse. And I was on it too, baby. My, you know, going down there. I'm and I'm going to do it again this year too. So
I believe you.
Yeah, it's coming.
But I'm still not able to pick up 658 on tomorrow night.
Well, folks, I'll tell you what. I hope. Hey, we haven't done the Heisman guys. Who are we looking at?
We haven't done the Heisman or the coach change.
Yeah, the carousel. We got to know who's at the carnival, who's on the carousel. We've got to know the Heisman watch. I got to tell you, this one kid that is playing for Colorado State, nobody's really giving him a look. That boy is a working man.
His tackles per game average went up this week.
He's got 151 tackles, man. Okay, that's 12.5 so tackles. Low. Yeah, a game. Okay. who else is on the team?
And not only on the team, he's number one in the country for tackles.
All right.
Ryan Day, there's a kid at Colorado State. His name is Owen Long.
He likes to hit people.
he hits them and runs them over. Could somebody please at Ohio State open the wallet and bring this young man in for an NIL deal?
So he's got a deal with Under Armour, but it's only on gear that's sold. And how many Colorado State shirts you have?
I might not have any Colorado State shirts, but I'm pretty sure that this kid could pick up a great NIL deal.
I know. But Under Armour has him right now for like lunch tickets.
Nike?
They could buy them right on. Here's your money back. Here you go. We'll give you the cash back. We got a good deal for you. This kid is the kid.
He needs to have Goodyear or Firestone be his NIL in Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He needs to ride in the blimp.
You know? Packs up your back.
Yeah. And then for him not even to get really looked at, which I doubt he'll be in the conversation, but I got to tell you, that kid's working. He's working. He's like the defensive coordinator, the players, and everything all in one. You know? A machine. All right, let's go on it. Let's hit the top. Sawyer Robinson for Baylor. He is 304 completions out of 503 attempts, 3,681 yards, 31 TDs, 12 interceptions. And he's making less than $1.7 million with the deal with Nike. His quarterback rating, however, is 70.1, but it's only 49.1 against Houston
last week.
Why?
That's why he's in Colorado State.
Yes.
Or Baylor. I'm sorry, Baylor.
Yeah, here. You get to read these. I get to sit out of this part. I have made my jokes. This is John and Kalen right here. All right, guys.
Number 17, Carson Beck, quarterback Miami. 262 completions out of 352 attempts. 2,805 yards, 25 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, 4 in one game, 80.6 QBR. And he's making $5.1 million in NIL. Hmm. Last week, he was 81.9% QBR against Pitt. They won.
Yep.
That was an impressive game.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, number 18 is Julian Sain, quarterback for Ohio State. He's 257 for 327, for 2,832 yards. He's got an 80.9 efficiency rate, a 91.4 QBR rating, 27 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. He makes $3 million in nil deals with Panini. And then he's got a 96.9 QBR rating against Michigan.
Yeah, he's a machine.
Or a freshman.
Yeah. Scary. John, next up.
Number 26, Arch Manning, quarterback, Texas. 227 completions out of 370 attempts, 2,942 yards, 24 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, and he's making $7.1 million NIL. I don't know who's paying him that much. And he was 91.4% QBR against Texas A&M last week, and he won.
I told you Tomato Boy was going to pull it together for that game.
No, you did not.
Yes, I did. I took him. John, didn't I?
You took him after I said that instead.
No.
I told you Tomato Boy's going to come to play last week.
Nope. Yep. John is a witness.
Yep. I said Tomato Boy was going to come to play. You can roll it back on a replay.
We can. And you will see that I was Texas all the way. John knows it.
I know. John
is,
I wrote it down.
Huh?
I wrote it down.
Yeah, that's right. I said Tomato Boy will pull it together.
And I posted.
Yeah. There it is. Now,
I'll let you slide on that one.
Yeah. The only thing it wasn't the St. Thomas finger in the wound.
Now, put your head in shame and start.
It's not my head
going,
in shame. I
going
right.
off of the.
All right, it's receivers now. Number three is Mekhi Lemon. USC, 79 receptions for 1,156 yards, 11 touchdowns, and the boy makes $265,000 in new. It's not enough for him.
It's not enough for him.
Mm-mm.
He's and a little low on the cash.
Yeah.
And the other Heisman Noble for receivers, Jeremy Smith, wide receiver, Ohio State. 72 receptions for 940 yards, 11 TDs. He averages 13.1 average per reception. He's making $4.4 million in NIL. So
and
he was playing decoy against Michigan because he lost a lot of ground to Mekhi Lemon.
No question. But he's a wonderful decoy. You got to double him up. And when you double him up, then you get embarrassed because then you got, you know, Carnell Tate. And that's exactly what happened. And then Max Clair. Then you have to worry about Kasparic in there. Then you had to worry about Innes. That there's just too many weapons. It's almost unfair.
All right. For running backs, we got Emmett Johnson, Nebraska. 175 rushes for 1,421 yards, 12 touchdowns.
Wow. And he passed Jeremy, didn't he?
Yes.
He passed Jeremy Love.
Yeah, so they were saying that Jeremy Love should have had 250 yards rushing that game last week against Stanford. He fell apart. Or they didn't use him again. One of two. And and he's number four rusher in the country. 141 rushes for 1,372 yards, 18 touchdowns. He could have had a Heisman weekend, but no.
Did not happen.
Nope. So South Bend over.
Yeah.
Now for defense, we got Owen Long, 151 solo tackles for Colorado State, 12 and a half tackles a game. Under Armour amount is undisclosed, and I can almost guarantee the boy is getting paid.
Oh, he's a construction worker out there. For demolition, he's just demolishing tackle. You just look at him. Just would you look at him? Just look at him. Look at that. Would you look at him? Just look at him. He's a machine. Kid's a dump truck. John, you're up next.
Honorable mention is Jakari Foster from Louisiana Tech. He leads the NCAA and interceptions at 7. Still only 20 tackles on the year.
And below him, Kalen?
We got Diego Pavia for Vanderbilt. And I'll go ahead and close it out with from Fernando Mendoza for Indiana.
Now, I got to tell you, I like Diego Pavia because he is he has a heart. That kid, he wants to win the game. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he takes it personal. He wears it on his sleeve. There's no question. And Mendoza has a very good talent group around him. This will be a very interesting ball game. But I like Diego Pavia.
And he's number 12. So it's like there really isn't a quarterback, receiver, or running back that's running away with the sacks.
Right. He can run. All right. So now that is our Heisman, the coaching carousel. Here we go.
Coach Kiffin accepts coaching job at LSU. And then he's replaced by their assistant coach, Golden. And he is not the interim coach. He is the head coach now.
That to me is well, that's crazy. I don't know if I would have done that. I he's got a good thing going. He's going to make a ton of money. And I think that he'll do well in that. There's no question. And the buyout is probably ridiculous. Mm-hmm. From what I've heard, it is an absolute ridiculous amount. So, you know, they had to do that with Kelly too. So they like to give away money down there in LSU. Take the job. You win one title, they'll get rid of you. Take the cash, you know.
Ole Miss said, we'll pay you the same. We'll match any offer.
And he still didn't take it.
Yeah. So you're like going, there had to be some bad blood there.
There is now. mean, there is now because you've betrayed the players. You betrayed them when they have a shot at, you know, getting in the playoffs. And who knows? You know, I mean – anything is possible, but not now. You know, it's not going to happen. So you had a great year, Ole Miss. You had a great year. Congratulations.
But I still think they'll make the CFP.
Oh, yeah, they'll make the CFP. They're definitely in. How far they go?
Yeah.
You know, their chances would have been better with Lane, but for whatever else, he ate the soup.
Yep.
So that's the end of that.
So the next coach is Grolsch for Auburn, and I forget where he came from.
And I'm not sure where he's going.
he's definitely going to Auburn. And then the next one's Summerall. He's a new coach at Florida. That was Summerall. The coach at Memphis.
Yeah. Memphis didn't have the year that I thought they were going to have. The Tigers were kind of down a little bit. They really just kind of
– they couldn't win the big game.
No, they could not. Maybe he already knew he was going to leave. I don't know. You know, a lot of that takes a factor. It's, you know, if I'm an employer and I have somebody working for me and he says, listen, I'm putting in my 2 weeks notice. My thing is, okay, you're basically telling me you're not working for the, you don't want to work for the company anymore. And can I expect the best out of you because you're going to leave anyway? So go ahead and go, or, you know, for the kids, what do you do here? But if you have a great employer, yeah, you give them a 2 week, give them a month, whatever, and just say, look, you know, the circumstances that I have just don't, you know, fit the scenario. And there's a lot of respect there. Brian Hartline had a lot of respect. Yep. Ohio State had a lot of respect and said, listen, I know he's going to give it his all. You have some that do that. Kiffin did not do that. I'm not sure how, you know, that did not work out good. Bad blood. There you go.
I don't know if they got he got the treatment that Kelly got by removing his keypad number.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Your materials will be at the front of the building.
In a wet bag.
Yeah. It's not a matter you're going. It's a matter of you're out now. So
please leave the state.
Yeah.
Pack it up. One of the many too.
Yeah. Pack it up. Nothing to see here. Next up.
Kent, I told you 5 years ago, Kentucky should have got rid of Stoops, and they did it this year.
And they're bringing in?
They haven't picked anybody.
Kentucky's a program that's going to be hard to build. You might have a couple of seasons where things are looking good, but at the end of the day, they're two steps ahead of Purdue.
Yeah. So, Kentucky, you have Rupp Arena, and where does the Wildcats play their football? Where? Anybody? Bueller.
Yeah. Ferris. Bueller. Ferris.
I still don't know the name of their football stadium. But yeah, they're going to have to find Rupp Arena.
Yeah, they're going to have to find somebody good. I'm not sure they can. I mean, that's just.
They're going to have to put some money into the program.
Yeah, you know, you're a basketball school. You are definitely a horse racing type state. Football, you're a couple steps ahead of Purdue. I mean, 7-5, 8-4 guy. That's about it.
I already took it out. I think he was 500 for the last 12, 14 years.
Which is commendable for Kentucky. next up.
Ryan Fitzgerald was hired by Michigan State.
Yeah, that was a lateral move, wasn't it?
Well, Michigan and Michigan State are about 90 miles apart, and both of them believe in hazing. So,
yeah,
we'll fit right in.
Welcome home. Next one up.
Chesney was hired by UCLA. I don't know where he came from. Chesney.
Sounds like bad lyrics on a pick the dandelions out of the meadow. I don't know.
Oh, I did put it up. So they hired the assistant coach at Kentucky, Stein, as their head coach. They pulled an Ole Miss.
Huh. Huh. Mm-hmm. Okay. Sure, whatever, right.
5-7.
Yeah.
So the next coach, Silverfield, is the new coach at Arkansas. Pittman was a high school coach, and that's where he needs to go back to.
Yeah. So, another one, you know, I could almost hear Dan Aykroyd right now. Sure, whatever, right. You know.
Bueller.
Ferris. All right.
So next one is not announced yet, but at the end of the next week, Brown will be the new coach at North Texas.
But North Texas is keeping the coach until the end of the playoffs, yeah. Though. So
that's correct.
That helps. Yeah, and then you're going to bring in Brown afterward, which, you know, a family member dies, and you insult me. Oh, yeah. That'll be interesting.
last coaching change this week. Heartline is the new coach at South Florida.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, South Florida, you have a lot of hope. He's a great recruiter, very brilliant at offensive. What he has to do to make that be effective is he's got to find people that are under him. He can't run the whole show. Focus on one thing, you know. He's going to have to focus on one thing for a couple of years to build them up. He's going to have to find, good defensive people. He might have to clean house. So we'll have to wait and see what happens. But I like their chances.
And what I just looked, Campbell, the coach at Iowa State, is now he's on the chopping block of Penn State now.
Really?
Yeah. So I don't know if he's going to entertain the discussion or he's, I don't know.
You think it's one of those, I don't have to take this.
If I take that job, you're going to take that Paterno statue and you're going to burn it.
Oh, and I think that's it. We already know Franklin is heading over to Virginia Tech. 10-2 guy could be now 10-2 guy there, or 11-1 guy, or undefeated guy. We'll see. You got to give him a couple years to work through the bugs. But high hopes for Virginia Tech, too. So we'll wait and see. You know, as long as he doesn't hire Jim Knowles, everything will be okay.
So an Air Force friend asked me, "Is why is Minnesota Vikings colors purple? If you were beat up for 50 years, you'd be purple too.
You'd be black, blue, and purple. The two colors mixing together, yeah.
Virginia Tech is 10, 15 years beyond Beamer. Yeah, purple might turn into purple or something better.
Stitches. Stitches. All right, well, I'll tell you what, folks, and the first game tomorrow night is at 8 o'clock, I believe, John.
7 o'clock.
The first game
is, let me pull back up, Troy at James Madison at 7 o'clock.
Oh, yeah. Get yourself a nice old, I'm going to tell you, put one of those hot trays in. Don't even put it in the oven. Put it in the microwave. One of those quick meals. You know what I'm saying? Sit down, watch the game, because I have a feeling it'll be over before you could finish your tray.
Or a 48 pack of beer.
Yeah.
Do you remember the game? No, I don't.
There was a game? What game? Huh? It's kind of. Kind of like a bus. There's a bus? What bus? When did the bus come? But anyway, you got to have your picks in before then, everybody. I hope that everybody has a wonderful weekend. And then we will be back next weekend because we get to talk about the playoffs and the bowl games. Yep. So, yeah.
Especially the bowl games happen first.
Yeah. We're
going to be fun.
They're going to be fun. So we'll have another champion in the bowl games too.
That's right.
And yeah, we've got our regular season. We've got our conference championship. We've got our regular bowl games. We've got the playoffs, and then we have a prize for in the playoffs to who gets to the semis, right? And then one for the national championship, right or no? Am I wrong?
Last year I had it all combined.
All combined. Okay.
We can change it, but last year was a trial. Because we had to guess all the games.
Yeah. So, and John has some good ideas. You know, we have some fun shirts that we can get. And you know, dole out a little bit. We'll come up with something. I'm sure John will come up and tell me something.
Yeah. We'll do the pen and Teller after you.
Yeah. And the other one, without we could do that without getting mauled by the lion. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Some info right there. That's the one. Well, guys, we will catch you next week. By that time, I'm sure John and I will figure that out. But we got some cool stuff, and we're looking forward to it. And, you know, listen, it's incentive. It's, what do they say, is for hardware now, right, baby?
That's right. Yeah. Jack Nicklaus said all the putting got harder as the end of the tournament came because you were going to get paid.
Yeah. With that, John, I thank you, sir.
Have a good one.
All right. We'll see you guys all next week, same time. And let's just have fun, have a good weekend, and let the games begin.
Yes.
All right, John. I'll see you, sir.
Yep, I'll talk to you soon.
Bye.